Well, good morning. Nice to see you here today. I saw some of you here last week. We had a great Easter, didn't we? That's right. And we're glad that you've come back this morning to share with us again. You know, if this is your first Sunday here at First Church, this is a good Sunday to start with. We're starting on the story. Matter of fact, I heard Claire say this, but hold your book up if you have it. Hold them up. There we are. We got a lot of the stories. If you haven't picked one of these up yet, they're still available. After church today, you can go see Claire over in the cafe, over in the living room, and she will have a copy of this for you. I want everybody to have one of these. We've given away, you know, hundreds of these things. We've given them to our kids and our teens, and everybody has theirs, and we hope that you have and that you'll bring it. We're actually starting today. But we're not with chapter one today. You've actually wandered in here on the very first day of the story, this adventure, this 31-week adventure that we're making 32 weeks because today's kind of an introduction to it, okay? So if you came prepared to talk about chapter one today, that'll be next week. And we will go for 31 weeks straight. Takes us up to a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, so we are excited about this. I must say to you, though, I feel a little bit lethargic this morning. I think the reason is Darlene's out of town. She's down in Tennessee with the group of ladies at the retreat down there. And let's see, I had lunch at Texas Hot Dog Friday. I had breakfast at Tom and Joe's Saturday morning. I was at the Texas Roadhouse last night for supper. And I'm going to Hoss's for lunch today, man. This has been a great weekend for me, you know? I'm glad I'm not on a gluten-free diet or anything. But we're glad that you're here today, and it's going to be a good time together. I want to start with 1 Timothy here and just talk to you about this passage for a minute. I love this. Take hold of the life that is truly life. Can you say that with me? Take hold of the life that is truly life. You know what you want? Well, that's what I want. And here's the really neat thing. That's what we want for you. You know, as pastor here at First Church and the other staff and pastors that we have, our leadership, our elders, our board, everybody, that's what we want for you. We want for you the kind of life that is truly life. Because a lot of times, We all have a life, but it's not the life that God wants for us. And really, that's what the story is all about. It's about developing a relationship with God. It's about understanding this upper story, that's God's story, and what He means and what He intended and what motivated Him to do what He did. And then it's us and our engagement with Him in this story. And here at First Church, we are committed to helping you do that. Did you get a bracelet? Everybody get a bracelet? If you didn't get a bracelet yet, you can actually get one of those before you leave. I want to talk about that at the end. But hopefully you have your story bracelet. But it's all about taking hold of the life that God has for us. This adventure we're on, it's all about the Bible. And I know we're intimidated by the Bible because the Bible is this one big story, right? It's one big story. It's the story of God. But a lot of times when we think about the 66 books, you know, and we think about the difficult doctrines and teachings that are there and the names that are almost impossible to pronounce and all this kind of stuff, we get intimidated by that. But it's really just one big story. And that's what we're going to look together at for the next 31 weeks. It's the story of God and how we engage with God in that story. But I know how it is. We get intimidated by that. Imagine this. I want to talk to you about three game shows today, okay? Okay, I'm going to talk to you about Jeopardy. I'm going to talk to you about a Deal or No Deal. And then there's one at the end I'm not going to tell you about yet. That's kind of a secret. Actually, I haven't decided it yet. I'm going to think about that. But how about this? What would it be like if you were on Jeopardy? I've always loved Jeopardy because people on Jeopardy are smart. You know, are you like me? When I watch Jeopardy with my family, whenever I know a question, which is usually about one in a 30-minute program, I always answer that question out loud because I want everybody in the room to know that I knew it. Right? But what if you were on Jeopardy and all of a sudden it pops up and one of the categories was the Bible? Would that excite you because, oh, boy, I can run through this one? Or would it scare you to death? You know, my biggest fear is that I'd be on Jeopardy. There would be a category about the Bible, I would try to answer one of them, and Claire would be watching at home, and she would say, "The answer, John, the answer," you know, and she would, and I didn't know it. And all of you guys would be watching and say, "You know what, our pastor, he's a dummy. He didn't even know this." You know, and you all would say, "I knew exactly what that," but I know how it is. We're intimidated by that, aren't we? Matter of fact, I got a little video here. I want you to see if you can see yourself in this. Watch this.
That leaves one untouched category, Bible. Cindy, where would you like to begin?
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 200.
For 200, the answer is Genesis. Yes, Jeremy.
What is the name of the device used to create a planet in that Star Trek movie?
No. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Yes, Cindy.
What is the name of Phil Collins' band?
No, I'm sorry, that's also incorrect. No, players, remember the category is the Bible.
My buzzer's still not working.
Press firmly, Ron. Correct response. What is the first book of the Bible? Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Throw open the cover, there it is. All right. Cindy, still your board.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 400.
For 400, the answer is, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Yes, Cindy.
What is freedom of speech?
No, that would be the Bill of Rights. Yes, Jeremy.
What is thou shalt not do anything?
Judges, can we accept that? No, I'm sorry, can you be a bit more specific, please?
What is thou shalt not commit forgery?
No. Sorry. Ron? Well, there are 10 of them you could have picked from. No other gods, keep the Sabbath, honor your mother and father, no adultery.
I meant that one.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Cindy, still your board.
I'll take the Bible for 600.
For 600, the answer is, they're called epistles. Yes, Jeremy.
What was Jesus' crown made out of?
No. Yes, Cindy.
What is the wife of an apostle?
No, that's incorrect. You? Correct response, what is a letter from an apostle? Letter from an apostle. Cindy, still your board.
Okay, I will take...
Only two clues remaining, Cindy.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 800.
For 800, the answer is... All right, listen to me very carefully. Ron, listen to me very carefully. This person took two of every living animal into a huge boat to survive the great flood. Cindy.
Who is Mr. Doolittle?
No. Yes, Jeremy.
Who is Dr. Doolittle? No.
Yes. Yes,
it worked. My buzzer worked.
Yes, Ron. Well, yes, go ahead.
Who is Joan of Arc?
No. No, it was Noah. Have you never heard of Noah? Two by two, the animals came. Well, that sound means it's time for our final round.
All right, and I know you can relate, right? You know, that would be the way it would be for some of us. But here's the thing. We don't want this adventure to be intimidating to you. I want to be excited. I want you to be excited about it. I want you to be excited about what you can learn and what you can apply to your life and to discover what God wants you to discover about this wonderful life in Him. You know, the neat thing about it, and as we jump into this, I want to show you something. Have you ever read a book and you read the beginning, and the beginning excites you so much that you want to go and see the end? Okay, let me show you something here. If you look at page one in your story, what's God doing at the very beginning? In the beginning and the ending of the book, God is creating. Very first line in your storybook, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you go back to the back of the book, it's actually page 467 in your book, you'll see there that God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. So here, the beginning, God is creating. In the end, God is creating. The 31 weeks of the story is going to be spent answering the central question, what on earth happened? Okay? In other words, what happened between God creating and between God creating? What happened here on the earth? That's what these 31 weeks are all about. So, I said to you about jeopardy. I don't want you to be intimidated. I want you to be joyous in what you're going to encounter together in this story with each other and with God. The second game show I want to refer to is this whole thing about Deal or No Deal. Did you ever see this? I always liked this show. I always thought it was funny, you know, hosted by this bald, germophobic Howie Mandel, right? I actually tried to think about dressing up as Howie Mandel this morning, and Arlene said no. And then she said, actually, I'm in Tennessee. Go ahead, do whatever you want to. I don't care. But, think about this, though. You've watched this show, right? Deal or No Deal. It's where they get to these certain points in the show, and Howie looks at them and says, deal or no deal. And that's what I want to do for the next few minutes. I want to share with you five experiences that we want you to have with the story. And each one I'm going to do in the form of a deal. I'm going to ask you, deal or no deal. Now, listen, the goal isn't to respond to all five things saying, yes, I make a deal with you, John. I'm going to do that. I'm serious about this. I'm going to ask you at the end of each of this section, I'm going to say deal or no deal. And if you are willing to make a commitment to do these things, say deal. But don't say it unless you are serious about it. So let's jump right in. Here's the first suitcase. Let's do it just like he does, and let's open up the first suitcase. Now, you're not going to find money. Sorry. But I'm going to give you something even more valuable than money. Deal number one is all about personal reading. Okay, in other words, everybody that got this book, I want you to make a commitment that you will read it. Every week we will deal with a chapter that deals with the particular stories taken exactly from the Word of God. It's 2 pages a day, it's 12 pages a week, it's 1 chapter a week, and in 31 weeks we will be looking through and looking at and discovering in these 31 stories taken from God's Word about God's story and where we are in that story. But it's all about personal reading. You know, that's the reason why we got hundreds of copies and we made them available to you. We want you to have them in your hand, and we want you to make the commitment to read this book every week. And then when we come together, we're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it. You know, when you go to your small group's going to teach about it. Your kids downstairs, they're going to learn about it. Your kids in Sunday school, they're going to learn about it. Your teens in ministry, they're going to hear about it. Every aspect of our ministry is going to be dealing with these stories. But you know what, folks? If we don't read it, it's not going to have the impact that God wants it to have. I love Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. It says, it is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. It, what is it? It is the Word of God. And listen, folks, we've got these books. It's before us. But the only way that God can engage us in the story and in our story and in his story is for us to make sure that we are there, that we are purposeful in sharing this particular story with ourselves and with our families and everybody around us, and then engaging together in this discovery. So, the first deal or no deal is personal reading. So I ask you, personal reading, deal or no deal? Deal. All right, let me give you the second one. Here's the second one. The second one is really, really important as well, because it's all about what I want to say, family time. Family time. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that, you know, it's one thing to engage ourselves in the story, but it's another one, it's a deeper commitment to say, you know what, I want this to benefit my family in wonderful ways. You know, for example, if you look at studies, and there are studies out there that you can read, you know, if your desire, and certainly your desire, my desire as a believer, is that our kids stay engaged in the story of God after they leave home, after they establish their own home, after they get married and move away or whatever. I mean, don't you want them to continue to love and to seek God? Boy, I do. And you know what, folks? It's proven by study that just because you bring them to church or you send them to Sunday school or whatever, that kids, when they get out on their own, they still really struggle with that. But they have found in studies that if you engage with your children, with your teens, if you engage with your family, that your chances of them staying engaged with God throughout their whole life goes up dramatically. So here's what we're encouraging you to do. You know, I'm encouraging you not only to read the story yourself, but find a time when you can read it together as a family. Just sit down, you know, in the evening, in the morning, and just pull out the book, you know, and say, guys, we're going to read that first chapter. We're going to read the story together. And just engage with your children in reading the story and then in some kind of discussion about the story. Now, it doesn't have to be in depth. You know, what do you think about that? What did God say there? Just, you know, you have to examine your kids. You know, here's the thing, you know, my kids, I can remember, you know, if we would have done this with our two girls, you know, I would have thrown out a question and Sarah would have just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And then when one week when Sarah would be doing something and she wouldn't be there and it would be just Kristen and Arlene and I, we would have had to drag any word at all out of Kristen. You know, just that's the difference in my kids. You know your children, but engage with them about the story. Read it together. Read it yourself, and then also read it together as a family. Think about your kids and help it to make a difference in their lives too. Because they're going to be hearing it downstairs. They're going to be hearing it in youth group and other places as well. So engage with them. It will astronomically improve the chances of your kids staying engaged with God throughout their whole life. So family time. Deal or no deal? Deal. This is so crucial. And God's going to use it to bless you and your family in a great way. All right, here's the third case. I love this one. Third case is all about small groups. Okay? Here's the neat thing about the way we're going to be doing this here at First Church. Everybody's going to do it. Every Sunday school class is going to be studying this. Every small group is going to be studying this. Every children's class, teen class, whatever. Everybody's going to be dealing with the story every week. And here's the thing that I think is really important about this. I would encourage you to get engaged together in a Sunday school class, in a small group, or whatever. But here's why it's important. It's important because you will receive two things that are absolutely crucial in this. You will receive encouragement and accountability. You will receive encouragement from people that are reading the story and God is speaking to and sharing with them. You will hear their story, you will share your story, and together as you do that, you will be encouraged to know what people have been able to overcome, what God has helped them to change in their life. You will hear stories of great joy. You will hear stories of sadness. But sharing in ways like that will encourage you in your life with God as well. But the second thing is all about accountability, because if I know anything, I know this one thing will be true. You know, most of the time here at First Church, and if you've been here a long time, you'll know this, we usually teach and preach with, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in mind. You know, we'll talk about something and we'll say everything that we know to say about some subject in 4 or 5 weeks, and then we'll move on to something else. Well, I know after week, you know, 14 or 15, you know, and we're in the middle of this, there's going to come a time and you're going to think, man, I wish he would just move on. You know, I mean, he's still doing this story thing. I mean, there'll come a time when the devil will trick us into thinking, you know what, this isn't so much important for me and I don't really need to hear this or whatever. But that's the accountability of it, because if you're in a small group, you know, you can hold each other accountable, because after week 12, 14, 15, you know, and you're kind of slack in reading the story and you're not as excited about it or is not as engaged by it. In your small group, somebody can say, listen, we made a commitment. We got these wristbands on and we're supposed to stay in this, and we can encourage each other, you know, to do that. So that's what's important about small groups. Matter of fact, you know there's small groups in the Bible, don't you? Acts chapter 5, verse 42, day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They gathered together on that first day of the week as a corporate body, but they were all the time, day to day, house to house, sharing this life together in Christ. That was a small group. So, I ask you, small groups, how important are they to you? Deal or no deal? Deal. Not as many. And I get that. But those of you that didn't say deal, I encourage you to engage in a meaningful way in this way in a Sunday school class or in a small group, because it will help you with encouragement and also with accountability. All right, number four. The fourth suitcase is all about worship. It's all about this right here. Each week when we come together, I'm going to preach about one of the aspects of the story. Like next week, you know, next week those 12 pages deal with quite a bit of the story of the Bible. But next week on Sunday morning, I'm going to talk to you about creation, okay? Every Sunday, I'm going to deal with some aspect, or whoever's speaking is going to deal with some aspect of the story. You know, the cool thing is Ross and I were meeting the other day and we're talking about this, and he's already put together the worship set for next week, and it's all about the glory and how powerful God is and how glorious he was in creation. I mean, we're going to sing about it. We're going to teach about it. We're going to preach about it. I'm going to challenge you to make some changes in your life that the story talks to us about. But you need to make the commitment that, you know what, I'm going to be here. I'm going to make that 31-week commitment. And, you know, I can think of a couple things, you know, the reasons why you should miss church. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes between now and Thanksgiving, we may have 2 or 3 feet of snow. And if that's true, you can miss that Sunday, okay? You know, or if you're sick and contagious, you can miss that Sunday. Now, you got to be sick and contagious. If you're just sick, be here, okay? But if you're sick and contagious, maybe you can skip that Sunday. No, seriously, folks, this time together right now is going to be an important time, because I'm going to talk, I'm going to preach, I'm going to share with you. Whoever else is up here, that we're going to do that every week, starting next week, chapter 1, the next week, chapter 2, chapter 3, right on through. And you need to make the commitment that you're going to be here. You're going to be here in this room every Sunday. And you're going to make a commitment to be a part of that story. Now, if you do miss, and I know there might be times when you won't be here, you can get online. These are going to be posted up onto our website every week, and you can listen to them there. You can subscribe to the podcast on there and have them emailed to you. However, you can stay engaged in that way. So, all right, I'm going to be watching who doesn't say this here, okay? I mean, will you make a commitment to be here and to hear this and to worship with God's people every week during this story? Deal or no deal?
Deal.
Deal. Good. That's awesome. Well, let me give you one more. And this one, you might see this one and think, what's that all about? Well, this one's really important. It's all about our kids and our youth. Because you know what, folks? We need to make sure that we make a separate commitment that we are going to engage our kids in this way. And I'm not talking about as a family. I said earlier about getting together as a family. But I'm talking to you about what Connie does downstairs with our children in the FCC kids. I'm talking about, you know, our teenagers, our junior high kids with Angela, and our senior high kids with Mike. And they're going to engage these youngsters, these children, and these teens in the story every week. And you know what? In some ways, they need our help. You know, they're always looking for volunteers, they're always looking for adults to help them in these areas. And this is where that's what I want to encourage you with. Because in the next some weeks, you're going to be challenged to reach out and help. And these are two areas that you can help. I love Deuteronomy 4:9, where he says, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Folks, we cannot assume that the next generation is going to be engaged in the story of God to the extent that maybe we are today. We must be intentional about sharing with these kids in such a way that they really, really get it. All right, so there's Deal or No Deal. We had Jeopardy. Don't want you to be intimidated. I want you to be excited about what's ahead. We want this for you. You know, Deal or No Deal. I've heard you say, deal, Pastor. Deal, John. I'm going to do it. I'm going to engage myself in this story. It's going to make a difference in my life. But you know what? There's another show that we need to talk about, and it's all about reality TV, right? Do you like reality TV? Somebody last service says, no, really loud. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to insult your intelligence here. You know, it's everywhere, isn't it? You know, matter of fact, I was trying to think, you know, which reality TV show would it be? You know, would it be like The Apprentice? You know, where God is teaching us, we are his apprentice. And I thought, no, I don't want people to think of Jesus with the same hairdo that Donald Trump has. You know, I don't want any of you to have this vision of Jesus saying, you're fired. You know, no, I don't want that. No. I can't do that. Maybe like the Fear Factor or one of those. No, I don't want to do that. And then it hit me. It's like Undercover Boss, right? Don't you love this show? Wouldn't it be cool that if we could just like envision God coming down here and he's just going to like be with us here for these 31 weeks and he's going to watch us and he's going to look at us and he's going to watch us to be engaged in this wonderful story that he's written? And at some point, we're going to realize that it's him. And when we realize it, we're all going to think, man, I hope I've been okay the last few weeks. But you see, the really cool thing is that, guys, we can realize it right now. Right now, we can understand what God wants to do with us in this story. Because in reality, the story isn't over yet. You know, it's not that we're just reading about something and engaging in something that's old and stale and covered in dust. God is still working. God is still speaking to us. We are characters in the ongoing story of God. God's story isn't over yet. But think about this, folks. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There are people that are for God and there's people that are against God. And the people that are against God resist God's plan for them. And those that are for God align their life with his. So this next 31 weeks, it's all about understanding that God doesn't want us to resist his plan. God doesn't want us to resist his story. God wants us to align our life with his life so that we can stand up and say, as Joshua said, and we're going to study this in just a few weeks in the story, when Joshua said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And you know what, folks? That's what it's all about. It's about alignment. It's about getting in alignment with God's story and making your story a continuation of his story. So as we close this morning, there's just one more case to open. And you know what? I can't show you what's in that case because I don't know. But it's your case. And what's in that case is your devotion to God. And some of you here today, your case is overflowing with devotion to God. You love him. This exercise of going through these 31 stories from the Bible is almost silly to you because you know everyone, you have studied everyone, you have aligned your life with God, and you are so psyched about what God is doing in your life. And if that's you, that's awesome. But there's some of you that have the case this morning, and it's empty. Now, there might have been something in it at one time, but right now it's empty. I mean, you're talking about reading the Bible and reading the 31 stories that make up the big picture of the Bible, and you say, man, John, I've never read them at all. You see, it's empty. Your case is empty. And more than anything else, I want you to devote your life to seeking God. Not to resist His plan, but to seek Him and to seek what He wants for you. Allow God to take hold of your life and to make it into exactly what He wants it to be. But all I know is that this journey can answer both of those questions and everyone that's in between. It can excite those of you that are here today and know the story well. And it can help those of you that don't know the story at all to find salvation in Jesus Christ as His Lord and Savior. And whichever that might be for you, I hope that you will join together with us and together find out our place in this beautiful story that God has been telling since the beginning of time. For some, it'll end in jubilation. For some others that are here today, it'll end in salvation. And that is such an exciting thing. But whichever it is, we look forward to taking this journey together. Together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for these good people that are here this morning. God, thank You that they've come anticipating, Lord, being engaged in this wonderful story, Your story, our story. And help us, Lord, to tell it well. Help us to engage in it, Lord, in such a way that it leads to devotion to You and salvation for us and for all of our household. So God, I pray that You would lead us over these next several weeks, these next 31 weeks. And Lord, if You tarry until that time is over, I pray that when this is over, that Father, we will be so close to You. We'll be so engaged, Lord, in Your story and our story that we'll never be the same. God, I pray that that would happen. In Jesus' name, amen.